is Kaya Biz with Gold at 2:40 on Kaya 959. On the street. On the air.
If we were in an auditorium full of individuals and I said, everybody who loves saving for retirement, put your hands up. I wonder how many hands would actually be physically up with a glowing and rearing sense of excitement and optimism when it comes to saving for retirement. And that not only speaks to the sentiment within which we approach our retirement savings, but also some of the rules that we tend to align ourselves with, right? That you need to save this specific percentage. You need to start saving from this particular time. And what we've often learned is that there are some dangers sometimes to following what is typically known as the rule of thumb. So to help us unpack some of these concerns and whether or not they should be applied to the manner in which we actually save for our retirement, we join on the line by Siya Mlozana, Group Savings and Investment Specialist at Allan Gray. Siya, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you? Are you well?
We're keeping well and quite excited. I'm tempted to ask you if you're excited about saving for retirement, because it's often a topic that people shy away from, right? Unless you're close to retiring.
I know. Yeah. It's a topic we all avoid, but it's important. We need to think about it very early in our lives.
Yeah, definitely. And that's quite critical, especially as you say, thinking about it early on in your life. And this is where typically when one does start saving for retirement, there's always like these rules that are often implemented to savings, right? That you need to find a full-time job in order to save adequately for your retirement. You need to invest in this particular product. But let's talk about the scope of rules of thumb, essentially. Do they have a role to play in how it is that we approach our investment philosophies?
Yeah, thanks for that. You know, I think it's, we've got many rules of thumb out there, and also same with investing. I think they're good. They're a good place to start at. But of course, they're not hard facts, or should not be considered as hard facts or instructions for investing. But they do definitely sort of like help us to simplify, you know, complex concepts. You know, make us think about things a little easier and make decisions a little better. So it's important to have rules of thumb and actually maybe follow them. But also, you need to dig deeper and do more other things than just that. But it's a good starting point to have.
Good starting point to have. But I guess give us some examples, perhaps, of typical rules of thumb, which work and which might not work.
Yeah, so there's a lot. I'm just going to think about the ones that are more specifically focused on retirement, on saving or investing for retirement. You know, like three I can think of. One is that, you know, focuses on your ideal equity exposure that an investor you should have. So it's kind of saying, you know, it's called 120 rule. So you take 120, deduct your age from that, and then say that's your typical or ideal equity exposure that you should have. But I think, it kind of makes sense if you think about it, because the older you get, you know, the less equities you want to be exposed into. So it takes that into account. But again, like, it's a really perfect one, and also should not be taken as a hard step. Otherwise, look at income, like, you know, when you retire, what's the ideal income you should take? Mm-hmm. And also look at your typical equity exposure as a rate, for example. It's called like a 4% rule. Mm-hmm. Also trying to make sure that at least you can get 30 years worth of your income from your retirement. You know, there's another one that's called 72 rule, for example. This one looks at, you know, how long will it take you to double your money in a investment. Again, like, it takes 72 and you just divide that by the potential interest or growth you'd get from your investment. These rules, you know, they're all great to have, but they're not perfect. As I said, they should not be taken as hard facts. They're just good ways to start thinking about investing, but you got to go deeper and do more research on these things.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's so important, right? Because we can't ignore the fact that these rules at one point existed for a reason, right, Siya? Because somebody thought, yeah, well, this is the magic number of 4%, or this is the magic rule of 72, or even having enough income for 30 years. But where do they stem from? And at one point, were they relevant? And could they still be relevant? And how do we need to approach them differently to make sure that they do speak to our investment philosophies now?
Yeah, I think there's still good to think about even now. But of course, you know, as I said, like one of the disadvantages, like I should say, with these rules is that they work on averages. You know, they look at a typical investor. You know, for example, the 120 rule, if you think about it, really, it kind of like assumes the one-size-fits-all approach, which is incorrect. Because, I mean, if I think of my example, for example, I've got friends, you know, some are married, some are not married, some mm-hmm. have kids. So even though we're in the same age group, for example, but, you know, the 120 rule that says you should have X amount into equity if you're at this age, it's not really perfect, you know. So they don't look at personal circumstances. They don't look at, you know, what's going to happen in the future. If you think about the events we've just had now, COVID, Ukraine, these rules would not have predicted that. So it's important then to do more, like, and really speak to the professionals about investing and what typical decisions you should take.
Got you. And I think you're quite right. You do need to be cognizant of the alternative approaches that do exist. And maybe you can also remind us what alternative approaches are available and that are easy for us to consider as retail investors saving for retirement.
Yeah. Thanks for that. I think, you know, I mean, I think personally for me, I like to focus on things that I can control, and not just focus on formulas and generic rules that are out there. But, I mean, one of the things I can control is really how much I'm contributing towards my retirement. That's really which investment company I choose to invest with, for example, that's also entirely in my control. So I think it's important then for...
See, are you there? Whoops, okay, well, we'll... there we've got you back. See, I'm assuming it might be load shedding impacting on the network and our ability to actually connect on the line quite effectively. But you were giving us a few suggestions on some of the alternatives that exist. And of course, it's speaking to the different dynamics and life stages and life responsibilities that investors might have. But remind us on some of the assumptions that you were sharing earlier about some of the alternatives that we can explore.
Yes, thanks, Sophia. Sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah, so I apologize about that. So another thing, I think the most important thing for me was to focus on things we can control. I cannot just the formulas and generic rules. So one of the things that you can control, you know, one is how much you're investing or how much you're contributing monthly towards your retirement. You can also control, you know, the type of risk you're taking. You can control, you know, the kind of investment company you partner with or you choose to invest into.
Yeah.
So really focus on the things you can control and speak to the professionals about your retirement and really have a plan and a goal. Because, I mean, you got to think about, you know, how much do I want to earn when I retire? There are various tools out there that can make assumptions and really work out for you how much you need if you want to earn a certain income at retirement.
Got you. A big theme as well, Sia, that you highlighted is, I guess, that rule that you need, 30 years of income in order to survive. And I'm assuming then that actually speaks to how long you want to live for or how much you're looking to spend with the amount that you have. But increasingly, we're seeing and reading research that points to the fact that we are living longer. And that certainly means that we need more money to get by with more years that we actually are able to enjoy in our life. How then should we mitigate the risk of outliving our retirement nest egg, which becomes a major threat and concern to many South Africans who just haven't saved enough for retirement?
Yes, no, thanks. That's quite right. I mean, research has shown over and over again that we are living longer, you know, with advancement in technology, you know, and just being advanced medically as well. People are living longer now. So it's important when you think about retiring, think about at least 30 years after you've retired, so you need that income. So I think we should prioritize retirement saving and think about it more. Really have a plan, like, you know, and you can only have a plan if you have got someone you account to as well, so like an advisor. Really, also, as I said earlier, think about how what's your ideal retirement, you know, income, you know, how you're going to live. But also, it's important, Google, to start early, you know. We kind of avoid this topic until we're late in our 40s, for example. So it's important to start thinking about this early. But also, I think, you know, one of the typical mistakes we make sometimes is withdrawing from our savings as we change jobs.
Yes.
So let's try and avoid that and really try to invest for longer and think of retiring as we go.
Exactly. And I think that's so pertinent that you mentioned. Start earlier. Talk about these particular challenges and don't withdraw from your pension fund and your retirement savings when you do change jobs. And sometimes the attitude is that it's my money. Right, Sia? So I should be able to access it. But there's a fine. Exactly. And maybe that's why it's important for us to also work with financial advisors to guide us, right? Because we're well aware. Life is tough. Things are expensive. Salary increases are not that substantial. So maybe guide us on that, Sia, that if someone does want to withdraw from their pension or retirement savings, how do they do so? In a safe way, and safe really being used as a word quite broadly, just to make sure that they don't eat away at the future growth that they can still have on their income.
Yeah. I mean, look, the biggest thing that people always think about withdrawing from their tax, it's a big portion of your savings. I think about that. If you can avoid that, it's important. But you said, I think there are sometimes valid reasons for people to withdraw. So, I mean, I'm not discounting that. But I think it's important to speak to a financial advisor who's independent, you know, someone you can kind of account to, who's not in the situation that you're in. They can provide an independent view. So really, it's important to speak to an advisor that can guide you and show you, because you can kind of estimate the tax you would pay if you withdraw. You know, maybe you don't have to withdraw everything. You can just withdraw like a portion that you need to try and avoid paying so much tax from your retirement savings.
Got you. And I think that's, as you say, you know, not withdrawing it all, being very aware of the tax considerations and implications that you need to be mindful of, and just taking it one step at a time and fully evaluating your life circumstances and, of course, the kind of money you can access, and not going above board or overboard deduct some money there. What I'm also keen to understand, Sia, is that there are professionals like yourself in the industry who have studied to become certified financial planners. You've got colleagues in the industry and in the business itself at Allan Gray who can assist individuals with this. So as Gugu, regardless of one's age or life circumstance, why is it always advisable to work with a financial planner? And I guess for someone who's still apprehensive or anxious and uncertain about their retirement savings, what questions should they feel free to raise with a financial planner? Professional.
Definitely. Okay, thanks for that question, Google. I think it's an important one because, I mean, as I said, financial planners are, firstly, they're registered, right? They're licensed to give advice. They're professionals. They're properly qualified. You know, they've got laws that govern how they do things. So they will definitely guide you and show you exactly what is the implications of the decision that a person is going to make. But I think also it's important to have that accountability partner that sits just next to you to always remind you, look, this is the plan that we said we're going to do, or this is where we're going. Just someone that you can bounce things off, really. It's important to have that planner that you can sit down with. I think it's important as well, you know, you must be a qualified person. I advocate for independent advisors,
Sia, we'll have to cut it there. Unfortunately, the line is not cooperating with us, but you've shared some very valid points, you know, advocating for someone who's independent, qualified, certified financial planner, and of course, someone that you can bounce ideas off of and, I guess, seek some clarity and guidance from, most importantly. We're really appreciative of your time this evening, Sia, and of course, sharing some insight with us, and I guess helping get us excited again for when it comes to our retirement savings, and most importantly, playing by the rules, but also making the rules work for us, right?
Yes, for sure.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Gugu.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. That is Sia, professionally known as Sia, but also Sia Sanga Mlozana.
Kaya Biz with Gugu Letumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959. On the streets, on the air.